If you want trusted market data delivered straight to your inbox, sign up to AHDB's market emails for updates on the latest grain and livestock prices, red meat and dairy trends, and evidence-based insights across all farming sectors. Search for Preference Centre at ahdb.org.uk and follow the instructions to make sure you're getting the insights that matter most to your business.
Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello and welcome to the third and final episode of our AHDB Monitor Farm series. I'm Katrina Thompson, one of our regional managers in the Beef and Lamb team, and in this series we visited three of our monitor farms to hear directly from them about what projects they've worked on as part of the programme, what improvements they've made, how it's all shaped their business performances, and what others can learn from them. My colleague and fellow AHDB engagement manager, Emily Simons, has been up to Annam Farm in Northumberland, where Harry Sordi and his family farm over 1,200 hectares of hill ground. He began by telling Emily that the Monitor Farm scheme wasn't the first AHDB-led activity that he'd signed up for.
I did AHDB's Progressive Sheep Group, and I found that really challenging, but rewarding as well. So when it came that the Monitor Farm was, there was a possibility that we could apply for it and it was going to be available, I had to sit down around the kitchen table here and thought the team we had at the time was ready for a challenge within this business. And I thought we could do it as a farm, as a family. My brother came back to the farm just during COVID. So I thought it would be a really good challenge to help him progress as well. So yeah, we just really saw an opportunity for us to change within it.
I guess that was one of your main goals then, wasn't it, of managing change when you started the programme. So what were the other business goals?
Back at the start, I think we wrote down a business goal, which was to be a sustainable business that was resilient to extreme weather conditions and was more forage-based and gave us more time off-farm. I think three of those four things we've done. I don't know, well, we definitely haven't done the more time off-farm, but so much external factors that have affected our business, which has added a lot of pressure over this last four-year period.
Of those then, of some of the challenges, what would you say have been some of the biggest challenges?
The extreme weather conditions has affected our business a lot. When we started the programme, that was pre-really dry summers and wet winters. So I feel it probably has battle-tested us a little bit with the weather and how we've reacted to it. That's probably been the main thing, but just trying to keep up with policies and trying to make it all sync together has been a big challenge.
I guess weather and policy, though, are challenges up and down the country. So it's relevant. But you've, in terms of like stocking, for example, you've changed your stocking rates and stocking ratio to stock for winter, haven't you? And like a carrying capacity for winter rather than maximising and then worrying about forage and things at pinch points, would you say?
Yeah, we have, definitely. And with wanting to run a lower cost system, that's been important because we were compromising that by having too much stock on farm, and that was incurring the costs.
Yeah.
Whether it be by having the cattle inside the shed or just running out of grass in the back end and not really having to rely on forms of feed, whether it be bought in. We'll try to be a little bit more self-sufficient where possible. The programme is coming at a really good time for us as a business because it changed what we could do anyways. So the other changes through the Monitor Farm process that have all sort of tied in. The cattle out wintering is great in context, if you know what I mean, but you have to make a lot of space for it. And we have to have a more of a plan early summer about what we're going to do for the winter. Whereas in the past, not that we didn't have a plan, it's just we were harvesting for the winter in our silage fields, and now we try and harvest less in our silage fields and defer more grass on our hill. It's a cheaper way of doing it. It's hopefully future-proofing us a little bit because the more costs we can remove out of the business, the more resilient we are to whatever external factors we're facing.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some figures in front of me, which back when we had your final Monitor Farm event on the 1st of July, Emily and Ridian, who have been your facilitators, pulled together some, I guess, key messages and some of the statistics, and here a 27% reduction in purchase concentrate feeds per kilo of live weight gained produced across the cattle and the sheep. Like, that's a phenomenal reduction in concentrates, and a big reduction as well in total fixed costs. I know you just mentioned then about the cattle outwintering, but like you said, there's other things that have had to happen. So you've really maximised, and I would say done a really good job of grazing GS4 or herbal lays or SAM3, whatever you want to call them, and really utilising those with both cattle and sheep, and as part of like your pre-lambing rotation as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I think the pre-lambing rotation's been fantastic. Real nice win for us. Our lambing dates have changed a bit as well, that we tend to be lambing everything outside nowadays and slightly later, so it just ties into our grass a bit more. But with the grass and management, it's great that we are giving it a go, and we can still improve very much on what we're doing with that. We're just touching the surface of it a little bit, but the big changes we've made, the grass and management's really helped to just buffer that all out. By growing a bit more grass in certain areas of the farm, it's allowing us to shut off more grass throughout the summer for the winter. And there's lots of little changes that have been made on the back of probably the big changes. With the cattle out wintering is deferring grass throughout middle, late summer for the winter.
Yes.
And trying to move the sheep further down the farm onto the better grazing so they grow lambs better, so we can get them away quicker and store more of the hill for a real cheap form of feed to give to the suckler cows to reduce their winter costs. Every year is completely different. With the weather that we're getting, and I think we got really quite caught out the first year with the dry summer. We're probably a lot more resilient to that now. Not necessarily just because of stocking rates, because we do still run an all right amount of stock on farm.
You said you've learned a lot about the farm as well, you know, and how much grass you can grow in certain parts of the farm. And I guess sometimes you have to sit back to really delve deep into learning about the farm to know what you can and can't do. And I know there's been unexpected lessons and surprises along the way, hasn't there? What would you say some of those have been?
Because we come from a set stock system. Personally, I didn't realise how little grass some of our farm grew. And especially by deferring it the first year, just realised that some of it wasn't growing. The hill in particular, there's some of it barely grew at all for the first year or so after we set stocking up there. The rest periods have really helped. And I think the hill does grow more grass now by just giving it rest periods. Some of our in-by permanent pasture, it's so slow to start, but we're managing to eke it out and applying a lot more rest periods on that as well. Hopefully the farm will grow more grass because of just that change of practice as well. We have a lot more flex in the system now. We have adapted pretty heavily to the SFI and stewardship, but all those prescriptions are working for us as well. We've got a lot of herbal lays, low input grassland, hay meadows, which have been really good. We've done them through the countryside stewardship, the species rich grassland. I think that works really well. And the bales off that have got a purpose for our cattle outwintering. So it's quite a nice reciprocal relationship. We need to make hay for cattle outwintering, and we're getting paid to make low input hay. So yeah, I really like that.
You've touched on it a couple of times, the cattle outwintering. I know that's probably been the most significant change, hasn't it, to the business?
Yeah.
And everything's almost had to adapt slightly. Can you just expand on that a little bit?
When we first went into it, I think we underestimated, if we were shutting off a hill, the space we'd need throughout the rest of the farm to make that summer period work. And we caught us out a little bit that year. And that was 2022, so it was that really dry summer. Since then, our stocking rates per hectare aren't actually that much lower. We gave up some lower value ground off farm in 2022 as well. So it was a bit of an acid test that year, because we did end up deferring grass for winter and having probably too much stock on farm for that year. But it's allowed us to adapt off the back of that. And yeah, that's one of the multiple changes that the business has made. It's adapted to SAM3. We had 80 hectares of arable when we started the program. We've got 10 now, and that 10's probably not necessary for this business now. We're probably better growing herbalays or grass or something like that.
Yeah.
That we can use more, but it's all changing still. I think we're adapting to what's in front of us a lot still. And I think the program's allowed us to be better at that. We've had staff changes throughout the program, and I think we're a lot more adaptable now to those changes. We're still on those ups and downs, but we can see where we've come from and where we are now. And we are a lot more resilient to these external factors, I think, because there's so much changed in the last 4 years. Arwen was a big thing here, got all our hill covers. They blew down. We unfortunately had a shed fire in the first year of the program as well. Getting used to the cattle out wintering, that's been a big thing. The BPS drop has also been pretty massive here, but through doing changes through the Monitor Farm, it's given us the confidence to adapt quite quickly.
You've gained new skills and, I mean, the network as well. Hundreds of people that have come on farm, you've been there with open arms, along with your dad and your mum and Peter and the rest.
It has been a family and a farm approach. We have had a full staff change in the four-year period, but the guys that were here to start off with, they've been a huge part of the Monitor Farm, and the guys that got here now, they've been a huge part of it. It's all been change, and it's affected everyone on farm, but that doesn't necessarily mean it had to be a negative effect. If you, I mean, I think we've all learned something and we've all experienced a different way of doing it, which has been hugely positive, especially in where we're at the moment, where there probably is going to be a big drive to be able to do it without subsidies or whatever way you find them, whether it be a stewardship or SFI or BPS, which is basically gone now, isn't it? It's been quite a quick 4 years, but there's been so many external factors affecting here that it's made it so much more valuable, the Monitor Farm, because we have changed the business a fair bit. And I'm not going to say it's all perfect. I think there'll be a lot of working on it for a while, but the big principles of it are a lot more sustainable than probably what we were doing beforehand.
What would you say is like next for the business? Well, and you?
We need a bit of time to just bed in what we're doing and just get used to it and just look at what the next opportunities are, I suppose. I'd like to concentrate more on our grass and management for a while, and stocking rates in a while we might be able to up them a bit and, do you know what I mean, run a bit harder. But at the present moment, it feels we've got the right stocking rate on farm, especially when the weather's so unpredictable. Although I'm not going to say we weren't short on grass this early spring summer. We were praying for rain for quite a while, but it seems to have come at the right time for us, luckily, which I know hasn't been the case for everyone. But we've got other challenges that we're dealing with, whether it be inheritance tax, succession.
And you're not the only one either. There's so many businesses, which hopefully that helps, knowing that you're not the only one and you're not the only business that's going through some of those challenges as well.
No, and there's a huge amount of challenges affecting every farm. But yeah, no, and I think the program's been instrumental in allowing us to grow the skills more, to adapt quicker to what we've got in front of us. The one thing we probably haven't had as a business over this last while is the farm work-life balance as much as we probably could have. So hopefully we're going to find a way of making that better, which involves more of the same, but just slightly more simplified processes and things like that. It's not unachievable, I don't think, a work-life balance.
And it shouldn't be, you know, you are the most important person in your own business, and you need to make sure that you do get that time, whether it's off-farm or whether it's spending time with family or whether it's a hobby, or it's so important to keep yourself ticking over.
Yeah, and I think it probably needs prioritised more in our farm, and I'm sure many others as well.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone there at all. If you were to go right back to the start then, is there anything that you'd, I don't want to say, well, I will say do differently, but is there things that you would change?
Of course, there's things that you would do differently, but you probably end up doing them and getting something from it. All in all, the big decisions have all been right. It's just all those other decisions that you have to make and compromise or just work your way through, which I think that's just normal. But no, there's no real decisions that, or there's no going back. There's nothing I think we'd do differently. But we've learned so much from what we had done. It would detract from where we are now. If it had all gone to plan without any challenge, then I don't think it would. The messages would have bedded in quite as much. The cattle out wintering, especially. There's so much little things we recognise now that when we were doing it, the potential was so much bigger from doing it than we realised. I think I was very sceptical going in about making it work. I think we all were on farm, if I'm honest. But I did say shorten the winter a lot when we first started the programme. We've shortened it to cows coming in 3 weeks pre-calving now, and it has worked. It's just there's lots of little learnings along the way to make that work.
And that's important for so many people to remember. You can't just go all gung-ho and let's just do this. And you have to remember that there is other decisions to be made when trying to change a system, I guess.
I think with cattle out wintering as well, it was a very much a staged approach. We did a little bit the first year, then a little bit more the second year, then a little bit more the third year, and then a fair bit more the fourth year. It was definitely incremental. We didn't want to try and get it all done in 1 year because it was all those knock-on effects. My opinion is it's trying to not steal from one enterprise to give to another. They all need their space to make it all work right. I think it's been a really fantastic programme. I'd advise it to anyone if they got the opportunity to do it. It's definitely challenged the business and the people involved in it, but that's not the worst thing ever. We probably all need that challenge to change a bit. I think we've gained so much more than we ever thought we would out of it.
A big thank you to Harry for sharing his story and the practical steps he's taken to future-proof Annam Farm. That wraps up our Monitor Farm podcast series. So a big thank you also to Rob and Liz Priest and David Cross for sharing their experiences in the previous episodes. Although the Monitor Farm programme may have come to an end, the lessons learned are still relevant, and you can check out our AHDB Farm Excellence pages for more case studies and resources that you can implement in your own business. Thank you for listening.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.